Dark before the six companions finally closed in on the wag train. Their progress had been slowed by Mildred suffering a violent headache. She'd complained of pain around her right eye. After an hour, she had to take a rest, saying that the sun was surrounded by a great shimmering halo of light, and she thought she was going blind. While they stood helplessly around, she crouched in the dirt, doubled over, eventually throwing up in the sand. Gradually, the attack subsided, and they were able to resume their journey toward the distant wagons. But by now, the evening had come and gone, and they could only trace the camp by the sparkling specks of red and orange that were the fires.
15 oxwags going west. Could mean something like your train, Christy, when you was young.
Were young, lover, not was. But I guess you're right.
Whatever. How many in each wag, JB?
Just before I fell in with the trader, I had a job swatting flies away from an ox train like this one. Most had a family. Man and woman and anywhere up to 6 kids.
Ryan nodded. I locked to the pinpoints of bright light, a quarter mile off in the darkness.
Probably reckon on 20 to 30 men able to fight. Same number of women. And a shitload of kids.
Are you thinking of taking them on, Ryan?
No, Mildred. I'm thinking about this man Christina called Skullface. If he's around here with some chillers, then I just wonder how strong and prepared that train is down there.
Best take care.
Sure. They'll have guards out. Place like this, miles from any place. There could be muties or...
Skullface.
Yeah, Jack. Or Skullface.
The loss of the armorer's long gun was bad news for them. Now they had only Ryan's G-12 assault rifle for distance shooting. Everyone had a hand blaster, but there were times when a rifle was needed. There was a sailing moon that sometimes peeked out from behind tattered shreds of high cloud, which provided enough light for them to see that the wag train had found a reasonable place for its campsite. The trail dipped, and there was a wide plateau, close to 200 yards across, that sloped towards the riverbed. At least it wasn't possible for anyone to come at the wags from cover, and whoever was in charge of the train had taken reasonable precautions. Jack had bellied forward to scout the camp and quickly returned to report to the companions.
4 guards. Walk around. 2 left and 2 right. Could get in easy.
Though he'd said nothing to any of the others, it had crossed Ryan's mind to get in by force of arms, take the travelers by surprise, and then break out with a couple of the wagons. If they'd been horse-drawn, then the temptation would have been stronger. But oxen lumbered at their own tedious pace, and they would easily have been overtaken. No, it had to be done straight. Straight and very careful. Ryan led them forward until they were within 50 yards of the nearest guard. Motioning for everyone to keep under cover, Ryan stood and cupped his hands to his mouth.
Hello, the train! Hold your fire!
The gunfire was spasmodic and mostly ill-aimed, coming, Ryan guessed, from some hoarded M16 carbines and a variety of self-mades and patch-ups, which was the usual kind of weaponry that was found in the frontier wilderness of Deathlands. A lot of the ammunition was poorly charged, and even at short range was barely reaching them.
Hold your fucking fire, you double-stoop brain-dead bastards! Think we're gonna tell you we're coming if we want to chill you?
The shooting slowed, but didn't stop. It sounded like every man or woman with a blaster on the wag train had come rushing over to use it. Ryan considered that any intelligent attacker would have caused this kind of diversion, and then marched in the far side of the defense perimeter and shot everyone in the back. Easy as taking Jack from a dead mutie.
Hold your guns, man! Hold your damn blasted guns! Some of you get over the other side! Harry and Buck, you get there! You're supposed to be on watch! Now stop that pissant useless shooting! You people out there! You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you!
Name's Major Ward. This here's my train aiming for the west, over the Sierras.
Ryan made sure he kept his head well below the level of the ridge.
Not too much over the highs except a lot of sea, Major.
I heard that, son. Also heard there's Americans up there in space right now. Been there circling and breeding for 100 years. You heard that, son?
No!
How many of you boys out there, son?
6 of us. Name's Ryan Carter. Got 3 men and 2 women. We were heading for the Grandee when the flash flood took our horses and the pack mule afternoon today.
You lost everything?
Kept our clothes, most of the blasters. Not a lot beside.
We're good Christian folks here, Mr. Carter. If you and your friends would like to come in, you're right welcome to share any victuals we got.
Stand slow and easy and walk in the same way. Best you keep your hands out where the boys can see them. You'll have likely noticed some of them are real edgy.
Real poor shots, Major. Wouldn't back them to hit the door on a shithouse if they were sitting there on the hot seat.
Guess you got it right, son. Oh, yeah. Fella here says, how do we know you aren't with this Skullface and his chillers? What do you say, son?
I say that's real stupid. I say we're tired and hungry, and I'm not going to wait much longer. If we come in without your say, there'll be blood, Major.
Guess if you was, Skullface, you wouldn't tell us.
Cautiously, keeping his arms out from his body, Ryan stood and took a few steps toward the circle of wagons. The others stayed hidden where they were, ready to give covering fire at the first sign of trouble.
We see you, Mr. Carter. Don't see your friends yet.
I come in and you see me. When I think it's safe, I'll call them in.
So it was. Major Seth Ward, Ryan never learned where he claimed the military title from, was in his early 50s, a grizzled man with a weather-beaten face and a neat silver mustache. He dressed like an old-fashioned cowboy, with a pair of nearly matching Colt Peacemakers cross-strapped on his hip. His wag train had started off from an area north of New Orleans, a nuke-ravaged wasteland, rife with muti diseases and infested with gangs of roving chillers. Nearly 100 folk, half of them children under the age of 15, had met together and agreed to move west.
Green grass, fresh water, and a safe home.
They'd heard of Ward from traders and had sent word to the Major to help put together a train of 15 ox wagons and lead them into their promised land. Ryan had encountered such parties before. Aunt Christie herself had actually traveled on one. As was often the case, there was a strong, if primitive, religious feel to the group. Out of 24 men over the age of 15, no less than 8 claimed to be self-ordained preachers. They'd been readying themselves for the evening meal before the arrival of the 6 Outlanders. Now, once the credentials of Ryan and his friends had been offered and accepted, the women went back to their preparing and serving of the food. It was a stew of dried beef with small, bullet-like potatoes and good bread. From the scent in the air, it was obvious that the settlers had brought their own oven with them. There were a half dozen milch cows with the group, but the milk was reserved for the younger children. Everyone else made do with warm, slightly brackish water. The stew was ladled onto smooth wooden dishes and passed around. But before anyone lifted a morsel toward their lips, Major Ward rapped on the side of a wagon with the butt of one of his pistols.
Quiet for the Reverend!
A tall, frail man with a wispy white beard stood and pressed the palms of his hands together, closing his eyes and gazing heavenward with an expression of extraordinary beatitude. Ryan watched him through lowered lid, the thought crossing his mind that the preacher clearly considered that he was demeaning himself in speaking to the Almighty.
We're here, Lord, another day along the Golden Journey. You didn't help much when the Chapman wagon threw a wheel at the start of the day, but I guess your attention might have wandered. Anyways, we repaired her and we got moving again. But it'd be good if you could watch and make sure nothing like that happens again, Lord.
Ryan hoped that God was paying attention and was looking suitably penitent for being so lax toward the wag train.
We got us some strangers, so keep an eye open for them, Lord. If they're false, then cause them to fall screaming into the pit of eternal fire and damnation, where their skin will scald and their eyes burst and hiss in the flames.
Amen!
The old man, Elder Vare, hadn't quite finished.
Bless us all that deserve the blessing, Lord, and make this food taste better than the pile of hogwash the cooks gave us last night. Name Father, Son, and Ghost, amen.
Amen!
Ryan caught Christie's eye from across the narrow table and winked. The coffee sub was brought around by some of the teenage girls, led by the daughter of Elder Vare. A startlingly pretty blonde girl with eyes of cornflower blue, Sharon Vare seemed to be paying a lot of attention to Jack. In turn, the boy seemed oblivious to her interest. Ryan and the others watched with some amusement, but her father gestured angrily for her to get on and serve the rest of the party.
A girl who walks in beauty is a tinkling cymbal and a mote in the eye of decency.
A pretentious old fart is a pain in the ass.
Ain't that the truth, lover?
Blankets were found for the 6 newcomers. After the rigors of the day and the disturbances of the previous night, all any of them wanted to do was get some sleep. But Major Ward took Ryan by the arm after the meal was finished.
I'd like a word, son.
Sure. When?
Now.
Where?